Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, so our reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. And it says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God."
Lord, thank you for enriching us in every way. We just give this morning to you. We're just vessels. Lord, this is for your glory. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How y'all doing? Yeah, me too. I have the honor of carrying on our sermon series, Amazing Grace, while Pastor Nelly is away at the moment and with some of our other people in Malaysia. So anyway, let's carry on into this sermon series, Amazing Grace. And this is week number 5, right? And we've been talking about God's abundant grace, his justifying grace, his sanctifying grace, his sufficient grace. So much character to God's grace, right? And week 5, we're talking about God's enriching grace. Wow. Okay, so let's look at our first scripture. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So I think, as always, we should start, whenever we investigate scripture, we should ask, what's the context here, right? I'm glad you asked, right? Thanks for asking. So let's unpack it together. Let's see what we're talking about here, right? Because we don't want to just pick a verse out, right? Let's see what's going on. Okay, so we'll piece this together. The early church in Jerusalem, they were having a pretty tough time. It was hard. If we look at this scripture from Romans, this is Romans 15, verse 26. You can see that Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote this. That's why we've got him faded into the background there, that wonderful little piece of art there. He's thinking. So he wrote this, and you can see that Paul he's busy spending time collecting a gathering for the saints, the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. So he's making this collection throughout the Gentile churches. So out churches who they weren't Jewish people originally. They were outside. Then they've become Christians. And we also know that the letter that we're looking at here, 2 Corinthians, this wasn't the first time that the Corinthians had heard of this taking up, this offering, right? And we know that. We can look at a scripture like this one. So this is from the 1 Corinthians letter. We're in 16:1-4, we'll read here. "Now, concerning the collections for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I'll send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems advisable that I go, then they'll accompany me." I love that last part of that letter there. Like these, you know, I think sometimes we can think, oh, you know, he's going to Paul. And maybe they even thought this at the time too, right? Like they could have some doubt in them. And they're like, oh, Paul's just wanting to go and buy some hot dogs down at the stand, bro. You know, like he wants to buy that new TV for himself. You know, but Paul's making a point here that when I arrive, I'll send those who you appoint. And if it seems like a good idea, I'll go with them. I just thought that level of accountability, like I've read this scripture over and over again, and it was only through the week when I was reading it through, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out to y'all this morning. Let's continue, right? We'll keep exploring this scripture together. We'll bring it to a point, but let's, like I said, let's put it into context. Let's see what's happening. We look at this next scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 4. So we're still not quite at that, the letter that we started at in 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians 8 here. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Sure. Wow. I just want to scroll back to this verse here, in particular, verse 2. Isn't it interesting to note that these guys in Macedonia, they were afflicted. They were going through a time of, it doesn't appear to be quite ideal for them, does it? It's for in the severe test of affliction. So they're going through something that's not ideal. And I also thought when I was reading this scripture, man, this really speaks to that condition of the heart where you find yourself sometimes and you're like, oh, I can't wait till I get something here big because I want to give big. How many of you guys have been like, man, if I win the lotto, I'm going to donate like a tenth of that thing to the church. They're going to have a building, man, right? If I win that lotto, right? If I win the jackpot at Keno, man, hopefully not. But you know what I'm saying? Like it's always like we're speaking of a season where it's going to be, when we have abundance, we're going to be generous. And this really speaks to that condition of the heart where it's like, well, actually, these guys, they're in a severe test of affliction and they were joyous to give. I think that's a great example. Isn't that it's such an amazing testimony that all these thousands of years later, we're still talking about this. It's such a great example for us to take on. And when our hearts are arid in that place, you know? I don't have a slide for this next one, but I also want to point out in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, 5, which is just the verse before where we're going to land here in a second. Paul makes the point that giving to the saints was a promise that they had made. And so we can gather from all of these letters up until this point that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it's specifically written to urge the Corinthians to complete their promised uptake, their promised collection for the saints, right? There's a little bit of background until we land to this point here. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. We're talking about sowing and reaping. I'm an avid crop gardener. Who likes to garden? Who likes to grow food? I love growing food. Maybe I'm a doomsday prepper. I don't know. I love it. I love so much of it. Like, you know, in some of my older houses, like I would like pay to have the gardens dug up and I'd ship a truckload of soil in so I could grow vegetables everywhere. I have so much vegetables that I'm making. I learned how to make the best chutneys ever from the lovely women at the CWA hall. My goodness, man. And I had such an abundance of crops. I loved it. And I can't do it now in my house now where I'm at because we have like these mutant possums. They're like, can any avid crop gardener relate with me on this one? Those possums, man, they want everything. They want it all. Like I put coriander in the ground and I tried to grow it amongst weeds. They didn't, it actually grew. And then I pulled the weeds out because I wanted to look at the coriander. Next morning, went out there, bam, coriander gone. Man, you put it up on a silver platter like that, those possums are going to take it. Anyway, love gardening. Can you see my heart for gardening? I love it so much. It's so good. But the point here is like, you know, I put few seeds in the ground, I'm going to get few crops back. But when I sow the seeds out, like, I get lots of plants back. It's funny how that happens. And when Paul's talking in regards to this collection of the saints, he's really making a point here that there seems to be some type of correlation between the return and the initial output. Makes sense. It makes sense to me. And I got to tell you, I found it hard to sow before. I found it really hard to sow before. Seeds in my garden, easy. But there's some stuff that's really tough to sow, right? And I found that tough. I found it tough to commit to some financial things that I've committed to. Like I've said to some people who are missionaries as well, I'd love to support what you're doing. Yeah. And I found that tough to follow through on that sometimes. I've got to be real with you, right? And so I empathize with the plight of the Corinthians here, where it seems like Paul's gently reminding them of something that they've committed to. It's a bit of the awkward zone for both parties, really, isn't it? You know, you remember that we talked about, you know, it's an awkward zone for both of us. But, and it's, so in 2019, I got to tell you, in our house anyway, things were really tight. And coming from an oil and gas background before I started working in ministry, that was a culture shock for me. You know, we would have times throughout 2019 where we would get paid and we would tithe. We love sowing into this house, and we would give to the missionaries that we're supporting, and we'd pay our rent, and then we'd look at each other and go, all right, what now? And I just want to tell you of God's goodness, that throughout 2019, even though we were faced with that and there was those internal challenges with myself, you know, I always came back to a scripture like this one, and it really encouraged me to carry on, that in a season of drought, it's not the time to turn the tap off, right? Like, you know, the water needs to keep flowing. If you want you can't just seize up. Like, it's not a good idea. Carry on being joyful in your giving. And it was amazing that, you know, a few days later, we might have somebody bless us, and then we're like, yes, we're going to eat. This is awesome. Or we'd go to someone's house, and they're like, oh, we're going to put dinner on for you. We're like, yes, this is awesome. We're going to have a ministry meeting, and there's pizza. Yes, this is awesome. But we never went without. There was always perfectly enough for the right time. God's so good. And He's really sustained us through His amazing, enriching grace that we're talking about here, right? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So good. I just need to be wary of time here. I can talk forever, man. Yes. Let's go to the next slide. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a joyful giver. I think that one of the most important words here is each one, right? Giving comes from an inward resolve. It's not something that you should be impulsive or casual about, but it's an inward resolve. You settle that. You settle that with God, right? And I love in this scripture as well, Paul never gave them an amount. He never said, you know, get the 200 bits of silver on the side, man. You know, or whatever. He didn't give an amount. And he wasn't pressuring them. Do you feel that in this scripture, in this writing, that like Paul's not pressuring them? He's giving them loving direction and correction where it's needed. But it's certainly not pressure. And I want to talk to you about this and share my testimony with this. One of the big T's, the tithe. Is it a controversial word in the modern Christian vocabulary? I'm not sure. But I just want to share with you my journey. Is that okay? You know, I used to make all the excuses that I could not to tithe or give to the house. And it was particularly about tithing. And I guess my underlying issue was that money was really my God. When I wasn't a Christian, when I, you know, I'd worked my way in the oil and gas stuff, and everything that I did in my work was driven by money and the power of it. And that's what I wanted it for. I just wanted the money. And that was my thing, that I measured everyone by their bank account. And I'm sure people can empathize with this, that they might have experienced this in their lives too. You know, money can do some funny things to one's head. And I'm no exception. And it's funny how when you have an idol or a god, you become super protective over it, isn't it? Oh, don't come near that. It's a bit sensitive. It's a bit raw, a bit red, too close, right? But it's really clear to me that Something like tithing is God's standard. It's something that predates the law. You know, Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils, Jacob the same, right? So we're going back before the law. And I said, I reasoned with myself this way, and I said, man, that tithing, and I'd get on the Google searches with this too, and I'd be like going through these forums and trying to dig all this out. I'm serious. That's what I did. I'm just telling you, right? And maybe someone can relate with me here, getting on the old Dr. Google, the spiritual advice of Google, all this kind of stuff. But look, I'd be like, and then I convinced myself, you know what, that tithing stuff, that's ceremonial Jewish law. I don't need anything to do with that. Jesus fulfilled that, man. Don't need any of that. Nah, don't have to do anything. And then I was like, when I started to see flaws in that little way that I looked at things, I was like, and you know what? They don't even break the law down that anyway. It's not broken down like that. Don't matter. And I looked at something like the Westminster Confession of Faith as well. Like, I'm like, chapter 19 kind of stumbled me a little bit, where it clearly separates the understanding of these laws into, you know, three parts, ceremonial, judicial, and moral. But anyway, look, I'm not going to go too far into this, but I just want you to know the truth is that under the New Covenant, ceremonial aspects of the Jewish law, yeah, they fall away, right? But as Christians, we're called to be generous, right? We're always called to give to the poor. And we're always called to, in whatever our means, in whatever capacity we have, to give to the expansion of God's kingdom, right? Anyone agree with me on this point? I mean, all of us must decide what that looks like. Each one of you must decide and do that joyfully, not under compulsion, right? It's not just for the select few. Giving isn't just for the select few. It's for everyone. We should all learn to be generous. Anyone agreeing with me here? We should all learn to be generous. You know, and here's another thing. I just want to cancel a lie straight up, right? And I heard this lie. I used to believe this lie too. Church is just after your money, man. Anyone of you heard that before? You don't have to put your hand up for this next one. Anyone felt that before? I mean, you know, I just want to cancel that lie. You know, it's not even about that, man. That's not what this is about. This is about bringing the gospel, the life-giving gospel, to the people in our communities, man. There's people in our communities hurting out here, right? And we want to try and major on the minors? Come on, right? No way. We're called to be generous. We should use every means possible, everything at our disposal, to bring the life-giving gospel to the people in our communities, because they're hurting out there. That breaks my heart, right? Anyone with me? And I also want to say this to you, that God blessing you, it doesn't hinge on you giving money, okay? I just want to put that out there. Through giving, though, He enriches us in every way, to be generous in every way. And that brings thanksgiving to Him. It's a big cycle, right? Because this giving thing, oftentimes this can be the last stand of an idolatry thing, right? It can be the last stand of it. The last part before we really just jump in. At the end of the day, this is the rub. God wants your heart, not your wallet. He wants to be Lord in all facets of your life. It includes this, right? But that's where His interest lies. His interest lies in He wants to be Lord of all. He wants you to look at Him for the provision, not for yourself, right? That can be my tendency. I'll just expand that later on as well. Let's look at our next scripture as we're carrying on this journey of breaking down this scripture. Anyone enjoying this at the moment? Sure. Yeah. Let's look at our next scripture. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's a lot of all, eh? All grace, all sufficiency. The word also translates to contentment. All things, all times, every good work. You might ask yourself, how could someone have all contentment in all things? God blesses the giving heart with this. This is the fruit that comes back from the giving. This all contentment in all things. It's enriching grace. You see, Paul, he wasn't trying to rob the Corinthians. He was trying to make sure they weren't being robbed of the blessing of being joyful givers. It's very important. And he was so much to a point and the detail in that. And he even tried to dispel the suspicion by saying, hey, once you collect it, you take it, you vote who takes it back. And if you think it's a good idea that I go with them, then I'll go with them. That's how transparent he was. He just did not want to see them miss out on the blessing of being a joyful giver. This is the point, right? I can think of a recent good work that has been done in this house through the grace of giving. Every Nation Logan, the new church plan, started last week. I was out there. It was wonderful. Doing church in the in Central here. We've got this fancy building out in Logan. They're out in the PCYC. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I just want to shout out, like, this is how much I love what they're doing there in Logan and how much of a blessing it is for the community out there. You know, I was talking with Joe Harder, my man over here, after service on Sunday. He's looking after the youth out there. Bless him for doing that. I love that, Joe. Thanks, man. You're blessing those youth. Man, I was talking to him, and the church out there at the PCYC, it's opposite a skate park. There's a skate park. There's a family park. It's all great. There's little dudes with their hats backwards and their skateboards out in the skate park. And you know what this man's heart is? I'm going to turn up early on Sunday because I'm going to go over to there to that skate park and bring the gospel to those kids out there in Logan. Man, that is a blessing to that community, right? How does that happen? Man, this church plant is happening by the grace of God. Generous givers are giving to be able to rent those community spaces, to be able to be blessings in those communities so men like Joe Harder can go out and bring the gospel to those little 13-year-old kids, man. How good is that? Right? Man, that excites me. That excites me as a youth minister myself. It's wonderful. Bringing the gospel to the next generation, we need to be focused on that. Man, I could preach a whole sermon on that. I could preach 100 sermons on that. Better not get myself started. Whew. Gee whiz. But what a blessing that is. You see, this building as well. See, everything has a cost attached to it. And seeming that this is what we're talking about at the moment, you know, it's through gracious giving of the saints that we're able to hire venues like this, that we're able to hire venues to run training in, to hire a venue to run a community church out in Logan. This message that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in this letter here is as relevant to us today as it was to them. We might not be under some ceremonial law to give, but man, come on. We are always called to be generous, to use every single means that is available to us, everything at our disposal, to bring the life-giving gospel to our communities, right? Who's with me? Let's look at our next scripture here. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So this is a reference to Psalms 112, right? 112. Paul knows scripture really well. Did you know that? So happens this guy, Paul the apostle, he knows scripture really well. He's not fridge magnet versing here. He's not just pulling it out. Oh, this looks like it's probably going to fit. Right? This is very deliberate because Psalms 112, it was chosen deliberately because it speaks of the character of a God-fearing man. He's encouraging the Corinthians that giving is a character of a God-fearing man because giving is a characteristic of God himself. This is a pretty popular fridge magnet verse, but it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. Life, hope, salvation. See here in John 3:16, God so loved the world that God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the gospel for if any of you don't know. Jesus Christ, God in man flesh, came down, paid the price for our sins, reconnected us to God. And if we accept him and turn away from our rubbish, gives each one of us life eternal. This is the basic gospel right here. We're here. We're Christians. We're here because God gave his only son. I think none of us are Jewish here. Would make us all Gentiles, not? We're here today because God gave his only son. He died to produce much fruit. You are much fruit, right? It's the ultimate act of giving, and it was freely given. Sometimes we think there's no value to something that's freely given, but look, don't be deceived by that, my friends. The cost was high. It was free to us, but the cost was high. That's amazing grace. God's enriching grace, giving joyfully. It's a quality of a person who has a healthy reverence for God. Let's look at this next scripture here. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Giving joyfully is a quality of a person who has a healthy reverence for God because they understand that God gave first and that everything that was given to us has been given to us by God. Where does the seed come from? Thank you, Chris, my friend. Yes, seed comes from God. He gives it to us to steward. I ask you this, like any other object, it has a purpose. What is the purpose of seed? It's to be sown, not consumed. Man, when you see that tomato on that shelf, are you looking at the seeds inside? You're cutting away the flesh of that fruit to go after the seeds? No, man, you're after the whole thing. Seeds, they have a purpose. It's not to be consumed, it's to be sown. We sow 100 tomato seeds in the ground if my possums don't go after them, which they will, but I sow 100 seeds in the ground with the hope of raising plants that will massively increase my crop, right? I'm giving away the seeds of one tomato in order so that I'm wanting to see hundreds of tomatoes on my vine, right? This is the purpose of seed, not to consume it. If we consume all the seed that we ever have, we don't have seed for new crops. There's no more multiplication going on, right? How many of you have looked to yourself for provision? Does this ring a bell for anyone? Because I fall into this trap too, right? Whenever we need more stuff, or we feel like we're in need, or we tighten up, we get stressed. Why does my body ache? Why do I have the reflux? Why is this happening? Because my body's doing this. I'm getting on the steering wheel and I'm doing this. Why are my arms so sore? Because I'm like this. I'm already weak. Man, you hear what I'm saying, right? We need to do this instead. This is what we need to do when we're in need. Down on our knees. This is what it looks like. In case you don't know what it looks like this. Down on our knees. God, you are my provision. You are my provider. You will see me through this. I don't need to work harder. I don't need to come up with these plans. I don't need to lie my way through this. I'm going to face this honestly, and I'm going to walk through it knowing that, God, you are with me. Right? God is the provision. He is the great provisioner. Seed comes from him. Paul knows it. He's trying to impart this wisdom on the Corinthians. Let's look at our next verse. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. God continues to enrich giving people so that they can go on enriching others in their generosity. There are many ways that you can be generous and give, right? Anyone heard of the 3T? This? Right? Not this. This. Time, talent, and treasure. And I encourage you, because I've fallen into this error too. Don't fall into error by openly being generous in one of these T's to guard idolatry in another one. What do I mean by that? When I first became a Christian, I had so many possessions, laptop computers, everything. I'd give them all to you. But you come near my money, you're not having it. I'm not letting you near what I was holding on to as my God, what my idolatry was. I won't let you near it, but I'll give you a laptop. I look generous, right? And people tell, Mark, you're so generous. How could you give a laptop? Oh, I'm generous. Oh, I'm so generous, right? But I wouldn't let anyone near where I was stewarding that idolatry in my pocket, right? It was a heart issue. It was a heart issue, but by God's amazing grace, he journeyed with me through it, and it ended like this. Boom. God, I'm so sorry. I've been a fool. I have been a fool. God's amazing grace transforms hearts. He enriches us in every way, to be generous in every way, and this produces thanksgiving to Him. So when we look at these scriptures in this entirety, what Paul is trying to convey to the church here in Corinth, and what he was trying, what still he is conveying to us today, we're called as Christians to sow and reap. There is a season for both too, right? But we're called to sow and reap joyfully, not under compulsion, not because I tell you to, not because someone else tells you to, joyfully, not under compulsion. In giving, see, God sees our heart. He knows what's going on here, right? But in giving, God, by His amazing, enriching grace, provides us with all sufficiency. That can be hard to fathom, right? That first step of faith can be really hard. I get it. I'm on this journey too. Step of faith can be hard. But all sufficiency, all times, all things, for all good works, right? Let us also remember that giving is a character of God. Seed comes from and belongs to God. He gives it to us to steward. Seed is not for consuming. It's for sowing. That's its purpose. Let's not confuse its purpose. Jesus, you see, He went to the cross in the ultimate act of giving and generosity. Man, wow. You know, He died on that cross to produce much fruit. That's you. You are the much fruit. If we make the mistake of holding on to the blessing ourselves instead of being blessers ourselves, we're just a little bit in error. We're blessed so we can be blessings to other people. We can bring blessings to other people. And this brings thanksgiving to God. I got a discussion question for you guys here. I love that we get to do this. Now we can talk about it. Let's talk about it. Friends, family, let's talk about it. What is the one thing that was discussed today that resonates with you? Why is that? Let's just take 3 minutes.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.